day in a world where life's unkind. We search for answers we can't find. You are safe here, take my hand, you're not alone. Today, when you're lost and so confused, just believe you can lose. Only selfless love can be a gift to anyone. Raise our hands, let's raise our voice. Let's show the world we have just begun. As God's children, we are one. We are one family. Share the treasures in your heart. Oh, the time is now. Let Him show us how to come together, a brand new start. Only selfless love. Selfless love. Let the voice in your heart be heard.
Good morning, listeners, and once again, it's that time of the week, Wednesday morning, Family Matters with me, Tony Rowland, bringing you the good news of family life on Radio Veritas, which brings us the good news for a change.
Tony Rowland, bringing you the good news.
I have to switch off the radio because I was listening to the radio and I could hear myself in an echo. All right, so there we are. Today, we are looking at the many faces of poverty. And the reason I've chosen that topic for today is because we had the World Day of the Poor last Sunday, the 33rd Sunday of the year. We also had a widowed retreat, which I think in a way was a kind of a response to poverty in the way Pop Leo describes the many faces of poverty in his new document, Dilexite, which is all about God's love for the poor. And, of course, it's inviting us to love the poor and to identify with the poor, the way Jesus does. Now, the big question mark is, who are the poor? And what is poverty? That's why I've chosen this topic of the many faces of poverty, so that I can work it out for myself, slowly, slowly, day by day, year by year. I've been struggling with this thought for many, many years. But first of all, what are the other things we're going to be talking about? Well, you know, there's a few promos. COP30 is on the go in Brazil. And that is a typical example of the need for addressing poverty in so many ways. From our perspective, the Laudato Si movement or the Laudato Si Action Platform and MAFAM's Becoming Eco-Friendly Families, we're looking at the cry of the poor as well as the cry of the earth. And I think we need to remind ourselves that the earth is one of the poor. The earth is being impoverished, as we could possibly say. This weekend in South Africa, in Johannesburg, we are having the G20, and there will be many world leaders here. And so the city is being smartened up. We hope that it's not just a once-off event, that it will stay smarter than it has been, because the city has been poor as well, been impoverished by neglect and abuse and so on. So the G20 is talking about poverty and alleviating poverty. As I mentioned, I do make reference to Pope Leo and also to Pope Francis and Laudato Si. And then I noticed today in one of the posts that I got, today is World Toilet Day. Now, how about that as a sign of poverty, where toilets are not available to everybody. You know, put toilets in schools has been an issue in education for some years. I haven't heard much about that one recently, but certainly World Toilet Day, there is a need for sanitation and for hygiene and for dignity. So those are some different focal points, if you like, for the today. We also later in the week begin the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. And there's a project called the Red Chair Day, which is putting a red chair in a public place to remind people of the issue around gender-based violence. So there's all sorts of things that we could be thinking about in the context of the many faces of poverty. But the thought for the day, which of course is based on the readings of the day, particularly the gospel, is an interesting one. So let's think how that applies to poverty. Today's November the 19th. So here's a story about Brian. You know, remember that Brian is the man who I've been using all month, or a lot of the month. He's in the story, if you like. He lost his wife and he decided that he was going to explore different healing ministries and different opportunities for healing. So that's why I refer to Brian many times during the course of the month in the thoughts for the day. Today he shared, you know, I always used to think of the parable of the talents in terms of admiring the men who doubled their money and kind of felt sorry for the other who just kept his money safe. But in the story, why should he be punished? Did he really do something wrong? Or did he just not do something quite right, like manage his master's goods for profit? Or how important is profit anyway, in the way we are now being asked to think about it? What would be our task concerning our own talents from God? It's the parable of the talents that is the story in the gospel. What would be our task concerning our own talents from God? It does need confidence to be an achiever, and there are times, like when we're depressed over difficult situations, that we're hardly able to achieve anything at all. Would God still be a hard taskmaster or the merciful Father that we believe in? I think maybe I just need to explain the story very briefly. It's a story of the 10 talents and the 5 talents and the 1 talent. So the master was going away and he left these talents or amounts of money with his various servants. And when he came back, he found the one that had been given 10 had multiplied his 10. The one that had been given 5 multiplied his 10. And the one that was only given 1 talent had put it away in a safe place, but not in the bank. Didn't earn interest. He just kept it safe so that he wouldn't lose it. So then the master looked at these returns that he got, and he rewarded the one who made a profit and the other one who made a profit. And then he punished the one who didn't make any profit. And so the one line from the gospel that I've used here is, Lord, here is your pound, which I kept laid away in a napkin, for I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. And that is from Luke's gospel and that story of the talents. So the man who was given the 1 talent, who didn't earn any profit, he was afraid. Maybe he was insecure. What does Pope Francis say? The truly popular thing, since it promotes the good of the people, is to provide everyone with the opportunity to nurture the seeds that God has planted in each of us, our talents, our initiative, and our innate resources. When we fail to acknowledge, as part of reality, the worth of a poor person, a human embryo, a person with disabilities, it becomes difficult to hear the cry of nature itself. Once the human being declares independence from reality and behaves with absolute dominion, the foundations of life begin to crumble. So these were actually two separate quotations from Laudato Si. The one was about promoting the good, and the second one is about failing to acknowledge the worth of the poor people and also the poverty of the earth. So it's all about talents and using our talents and dealing with poverty. And then we also need to recognize, this is his Jubilee message, we need to recognize the immense goodness present in our world, lest we be tempted to think ourselves overwhelmed by evil and violence. The signs of the times, which include the yearning of human hearts in need of God's saving presence, ought to become signs of hope. So there are actually three different kind of messages. And, you know, those people who receive these thoughts for the day by email or by WhatsApp or on Facebook, think about it. There's different ways of looking at poverty, and there's different ways of thinking about how we should use our talents. So in the end, we can take some action and pray for compassionate concern for those who are suffering loss in their families. So that's my thought for the day. So let's have our first music, or rather our next music, because we've already had the selfless love. Let's have Blessed Are the Pure in Heart. Now I'd like to share with you, as I usually do, my own thoughts, the many faces of poverty, my newsletter for the week. And after our next music break, I will be talking with Father Bruce Boucher about his experience of poverty in the different parishes and different places where he has been a pastor. So that should be exciting for us to listen to. But let me do our newsletter now without further ado. The many faces of poverty. There are many faces of poverty for me in my personal relationship with that concept, just as there are for everyone. Pope Francis instituted the World's Day of the Poor 9 years ago, highlighting the importance in the Church's mission of the preferential option for the poor. Each year, that World Day, on the Sunday before the triumphant celebration of Christ the King, has been quite significant for me on my own spiritual journey, in part because in these thoughts of the day which I post out, I need to reflect on the subject each day. But already very many years ago, the first of the Beatitudes has presented me with a strong challenge. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Of course, that's what we all want to achieve, the kingdom of heaven. But it's the poverty part that's my challenge. What is the deeper message for me, personally? And where is the challenge? Who wants to be poor and to be blessed in being poor? Do I believe it? Is our worldview not to be successful, to avoid and overcome material poverty, and amass enough money to be secure in your old age and have enough medical cover? All of those are a serious concern for me at this time. And society says, don't give too much away, but somehow still be as generous as you can. And those are aspects of the way of thinking of the consumerist culture. On a different level for me, there have been times when I've almost felt guilty about not being poor, or at least not poor enough to deserve a place in heaven. Our family, has never been more than relatively well off, but comfortable enough most of the time. Do I really need, or would I like to drive the nice car I admire? Or would I like to spend money on travel, beautiful things for the house, or on jewelry? Or do I need to identify with Jesus in his chosen poverty and how he identified with the materially poor and the outcasts and beggars and the homeless? Do I, a lay, widowed woman, have that calling? Never mind anyone else. Am I willing to share enough, especially beyond my family? Lots of questions I ask. There was a time when I found comfort in relating to the poor in spirit, as the attitude that I am not overly attached to possessions, and I think I rely on God's providence. But do I genuinely trust in God to provide? Is that the correct attitude or conviction towards being truly poor in spirit? Much of my reflection in this area has been around material possessions, even a need for security and the ability to appreciate beauty and to enjoy the good things in life. So I ask, does God really love the poor more than the not so poor? Yes? No? Pope Leo states that this preferential option for the poor never indicates exclusivity or discrimination towards other groups, which would be impossible for God. It's meant to emphasize God's actions, which are moved by compassion towards the poverty and weakness of all humanity, wanting to inaugurate a kingdom of justice, fraternity, and solidarity. God has a special place in his heart for those who are discriminated against and oppressed. And he asks us, his church, to make a decisive and radical choice in favor of the weakest. And that is from his apostolic exhortation, Dilexi Te, which means, I have loved you. Another challenge as a parent, a family member, and a friend, Pope Francis in Laudato Si, challenges us on the issue of consumerism. Use less, buy less, waste less, as the earth cannot possibly deal with the amounts of waste that we consumers create. Don't buy the latest fashion items and electronic gadgets, which are wants rather than needs. Is it possible to instill that value into others, especially children? Economics demands that more and more is produced and developed. Even with COP30 and the move towards cutting down on fossil fuel and replacing it with renewable energy, the intention there is to provide more energy and available water rather than cut down on use, and live more sustainably and preserve the environment for the future. It was affirming for me that Mother Teresa already said decades ago that the greatest poverty is being unloved. Right now, in the Lexite, the Pope lists some of the many faces of poverty. He says it's a multifaceted phenomenon. In fact, there are many forms of poverty. The poverty of those who lack material means of subsistence, the poverty of those who are socially marginalized and lack the means to give voice to their dignity and abilities, this moral and spiritual poverty, cultural poverty, the poverty of those who find themselves in a condition of personal or social weakness or fragility, and the poverty of those who have no rights, no space, no freedom. So certainly there are many faces of poverty there. He speaks of the needy, those who suffer neglect, hunger and want. But he notes too that poverty is loneliness, lack of love and relationships. That loneliness can, of course, apply to everyone. And the wealthy may well experience poverty of loneliness in a greater way than the materially poor, who may have much closer relationships. That is an area where I think I can deal with poverty and loneliness more easily than with the aspect of identifying and following Jesus' self-emptying, a particular way of love and poverty, as did St. Francis. So dare I ask myself, does offering a retreat for widowed persons make me worthy? Some years ago, on my journey, I composed a family activity around the theme of poor in spirit, which included a list of stories of different faces, of lacks and losses, emotional, like loneliness, relational, like abuse, circumstantial poverty due to job loss, migrancy, loss of almost everything. So those stories shared in the activity, while recognizing the poverty, also included gratitude where support was offered or where trust in God provided hope. I'm still on this journey. Someone mentioned the deserving and the undeserving poor. Have I resolved all these challenges for myself? Some I have, and at times I feel almost content. But the fact that I'm still embarrassed to look the dirty beggar at the robot in the face and genuinely believe that I can love him or the poor addict who has failed in the school of life, those things tell me that my journey continues. Black Friday is a classic example, and come Christmas, will I still disapprove of the amount of money spent on presents, unnecessarily or irresponsibly, or out of generosity and goodwill? On the World's Day of the Poor, Pope Leo invited all Christians to seek the kingdom of God by working to transform human coexistence into a space of fraternity and dignity for all, without exception. And he prayed, "May Mary help us to embrace the kingdom's new way of thinking, so that in our Christian life, the love of God, which welcomes, binds up wounds, forgives, consoles, and heals, may always be present." And there it is, from one poor person to another different poor person. Amen. Yeah. Those are some of my faces of poverty, and I hope that listeners will come up with their own, and maybe this will help you think about the faces of poverty in your life. So let's have a hymn. This one is Be Not Afraid, and it actually includes Blessed Are You Poor, for the kingdom will be theirs.
You shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your words in foreign lands, and all will understand. Shall see the face of God and live. Be not afraid, I go before you always. Come, follow me, and if you walk amid the burning flames, you shall not be harmed. If you stand before the power of hell and death is at your side, know that I am with you through it all. I go before you always. Come, follow me, and I will bring you rest.
Good morning, Father Bruce.
Blessed are the poor.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello there. Good morning, and how are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you are perfectly on time, as always. I'm sure that punctuality is one of your special talents, is it?
It is. It's been drilled into me.
I thought so, yes. And you know, when I was inviting you to share with us on the question of poverty, we first talked about Pope Leo's new document, which I know you are going to be unpacking for the parishioners in Craig Hall, but that's not what we're going to be talking about. You and I would like to share with the listeners some of your history, if you like. You've been active in the Johannesburg Diocese, and I know personally have met you in different parishes in very different settings, where you would have experienced poverty in different ways. So that's what I hope you will be able to share really meaningfully for our listeners, who hopefully are people who come from different parishes themselves and would experience poverty in different ways.
Sure, I mean, I'm happy to do that.
So, when I first met you, you were actually not a parish priest. I think you were a university chaplain. Would that have been different? Or otherwise, you know, go through the story a little bit, would you?
Sure. So I've worked in three parishes here in Johannesburg. So Township Parish in Martin de Porres, City Centre Parish, Holy Trinity, and now another St. Martin de Porres, but this in the very different and much more comfortable northern suburbs of Craig Hall Park. And so in each parish is like wonderful. I've loved each of them, but they are actually quite unique. So I guess beginning in Orlando West, where I was parish priest for 10 years, There it was a much more material poverty. I would be in, go to different houses for our section masses, and you'd have a large family squashed into a really small physical space. There was a lot of food insecurity. We were supporting quite a number of families through a kind of monthly food parcels. We did a really big Christmas parcel at the end of each year just to give families something to celebrate with. And so I think that's certainly one of the characteristic poverties of a township setting. But then there's also kind of other poverties as well. For example, how many of our families experience the poverty of brokenness or incompleteness, the poverty of not actually having a father figure in the house, the poverty of kind of lack of access to resources like good schooling and all of those kinds of things. So I think the poverty I experienced in Orlando West, it wasn't simply a material poverty, but also a multifaceted poverty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you also have found, you said your Christmas parcels and so on, was there a good amount of self-help, or was there dependence on outside, gifts and food and so on? Because, I think that it would seem to me that there is quite a lot through Sodalities or St. Vincent de Paul or Justice and Peace where a lot of self-help would actually operate in a parish like that.
So by self-help, do you mean that the parishes were using resources from within the parish?
No. From within their own parish.
Yeah.
Or was Braamfontein supporting Orlando West because you're both Jesuit?
No, not at all.
That kind of thing.
Each parish is basically a standalone entity.
Yeah.
And by self-help, I was kind of imagining, are people kind of are trying to kind of hustle for money, kind of trying to do kind of small jobs on the side. And I think a lot of that was happening. People were seldom just passive recipients. There were some that were, but I think on the whole, people weren't just kind of waiting for food to fall out of heaven into their laps. And we also need to acknowledge the power of social grants, that quite often a household was dependent on grandmother's pension. And that would keep the whole family from starving.
So, and you say the brokenness, Pope Leo talks a lot about love as the basis of dealing with poverty. Did you find that kind of friendliness, hospitality, love rife or strong in a community like that?
I think yes and no. Think people are always more likely to support people that they know or people who are like them. So I'm not sure that the same kind of parish community would have been as supportive of somebody who wasn't Catholic, wasn't part of that neighborhood, wasn't part of kind of
the sodality,
their broader community.
Yeah. Okay, we're not going to stay with Orlando West all the time. Braamfontein must have been very different.
Braamfontein was very different, partly just because of its location. It's the center for university kind of ministry to BITS and to UJ. Because of its geographic location, we had parishioners from kind of all over the city center, the CBD. So kind of including kind of Berea, Yeovil. And so there you have the poverty of material poverty. But you also have the poverty of marginalization, because many of those people are going to be non-South Africans who are experiencing kind of social exclusion, exclusion from opportunities because of their nationality, exclusion from social services. Again, because of nationality. And then we had people who were, we had the gay and lesbian support group. So we then also had people who were felt excluded from kind of family, society, even church. So this was kind of a really kind of a diverse kind of set of poverties.
Yeah.
And that's just not to mention like the homeless. I mean, the homeless are a large part of the ministry of Trinity, where every single day, Monday to Friday, they serve lunch. Every Monday evening, there's dinner. The homeless can access through the SVP toiletries, clothing, and other help. So there's like this whole range of kind of poverties that the parish was trying to address. And I think really maybe in the synodal sense to journey with and accompany people where they were. I mean, you travel with, you journey with the poor, the foreigner, the marginalized and excluded. So I think that was the real kind of ministry that, that Trinity was doing.
Yeah. Father Bruce, now, you know, I know that, you know, the gay and lesbian, the that community is not necessarily all from Braamfontein. But I think because it's known that the parish welcomes differently orientated people, they come from all over. Isn't that so?
I would say partly. I mean, I think it drew a fair number of people from, again, kind of this broader city center. Very occasionally people from kind of further afield. It had some South Africans, it had lots of non-South Africans, and people were actually ended up in South Africa because of either actual or fear of persecution in kind of countries north of our border. And also not all Catholic either. So a very diverse group, and it was people who were looking for a non-judgmental safe space.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, they were experiencing poverty, obviously, stigmatization and exclusion and so on. And were they receiving the welcome that they needed to overcome their poverty?
They were. So some of the group itself was very open to whoever. And so the overlap between the support group and, let's put it, the worshiping community wasn't that great. I mean, wasn't that large. So I think a fair number would have been Catholics who were worshiping at Holy Trinity, but a lot, maybe even the majority, would not have been. Making use of a service, the safe space, and the accompaniment that the parish was providing.
And the same would have applied to HIV/AIDS in former years, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so maybe about 13 years ago, the parish was also providing a kind of HIV testing and HIV testing and counseling, and then referral to kind of clinics for those who needed to get onto antiretrovirals. So that was for kind of the beginning part of the homeless ministry. That didn't last too long. I mean, kind of changes and kind of the students who were running the kind of the clinic for the homeless. Again, completely dependent on the kinds of people who are volunteering as to what kind of services we can provide.
Yeah, which kind of makes me think of, you know, what is the motivation of people to address poverty in its different forms? You know, is it sometimes peer support? You know, say for the gay and lesbian, would that be peer? The HIV one, would that have been peer support, or would that have been, you know, support for people who have a need out of love, out of their spirituality, for why? You know, what is the motivation? Why people get involved in alleviating the different forms of poverty?
Well, I think there's going to be a whole host of motivations. So at Trinity, for those who are working in HIV ministry, they were medical students. So medicine was their passion, and those who had or were testing for HIV kind of fell into the category of those to whom they were professionally called to serve. And I think for support for the LGBT community would have been partly from the religious motive. Christ calls us to love the weakest and to support those who are in need. And there would have been kind of also the we need to help our brothers and sisters, those whom we are most like, at least in this one particular aspect of our life. So I think there are lots of motivations. There's no one single, this is why people respond to the many faces of poverty that we see.
But I think that, you know, I'm thinking back to many years ago also in Braamfontein. I must watch the time. In Braamfontein, it had a kind of a academic feel about it. And, you know, I suppose the word snobbishness comes to mind. Is there any kind of academic snobbishness, or would there have been in previous times, and that those who are more academically inclined or involved, would they look down on other people who are poor in that sense? I don't know. I'm just, you know, throwing ideas around. Do I make sense?
Yeah, no, I don't think there was any kind of elitism.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that those who came to Trinity, many it's a question of location. It's the church closest to them and easy for them to get to. For others, there is the attraction to the fact that it's run by the Society of Jesus for many years, and therefore you're going to get a certain kind of thoughtful, sensible, political, challenging homily. And that the liturgy is going to be good. And there are some people kind of more highbrow, inverted commas. So I think Trinity has a certain brand.
It does have an image, hey? Yeah.
For excellence, and I think it's liturgy and it's preach.
And it's music.
And it's outreach to the poor and the homeless. So it does have that kind of a reputation, and I think it's people come to Trinity for maybe many for one particular reason, but then they find other reasons to stay. So I would know people who went there because they were looking for an open and inclusive community, and once there, they got very much more involved in outreach to the poor. Because it's kind of a what you do as a community. So, yeah, I think that's probably been my experience of Trinity.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, for some time I was trying to, you know, to work with you, if you like, on trying to look at a family ministry. And, you know, I suppose my focus is really on looking at the poverty of families in a whole variety of ways, especially relational and so on, which didn't really take off as it has not done in many other places. You know, the family focus I have found quite disappointing. Orlando West was quite a good one at some stage. I don't know whether, you know, family life as a source of fighting against relational poverty has really become a feature in the diocese. I don't know if you've got anything to say on that, or otherwise comment about your latest position, pastor in Craig Hall.
I think family ministry struggled when because there are so many different kind of forms of family, and I think such a wide variety of needs. So I think to have a family ministry actually requires it to be, well, it's going to be a young adult ministry and youth ministry and bereaved ministry and troubled families ministries and divorce ministries. And so I think it's very difficult for people nowadays to, I think, really identify with a family ministry, because maybe people don't know what that means anymore. I think it is much easier in a place which actually has a more conventional parish, which has, in fact, I mean, like Orlando West, where there are much more kind of conventional units, people kind of living together, multi-generational households and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so here in Craigle Park, again, very different. It's a much more kind of affluent society. But there are then other different kinds of poverty that affect kind of, let's call it the community. I mean, we do things like an outreach to the poor, and we feed people, but that's kind of something that we are doing for other people, not so much that we're doing for poor people within the parish community. Mm. I think the poverties which I think I would see here is quite often the poverty of loneliness, people who are feeling isolated, alone. There's divorce. Those kinds of relational situations. And that's also kind of one of the poverties that Pope Leo points to in his apostolic exhortation. And so we've tried to establish a ministry of accompaniment here in the parish. So it's not just visiting the sick with communion, but can we actually do more for those who are poor in other ways?
Sure. Yeah. Poverty is not a simple matter, is it? You know, there may well be people that have lost their jobs, that are struggling, that, you know, on that basis, and, you know, looking forward to their old age. Have I saved enough? Am I going to be able to survive? Am I going to be dependent on my children who have left the country?
Mm.
You know, all kinds of areas like that. You know, our personal poverty concerns that maybe don't surface all that much in a community where the focus tends to be more on worship. Father Bruce, I'm sure that we could talk a lot more, but I thank you for sharing, you know, about your experience in these different parishes. And also, I hope that the, you know, unpacking Dilexit, Dilexite, I keep getting the name wrong and comparing it with Dilexit Nos. Yeah, that certainly it's a challenge for us to be more conscious of identifying with the poor. Would you say that that is possibly one of the biggest needs for us to be able to identify with the poor as we so often hear? And that is your final thought on this topic?
So, I mean, I do hope that people will go and read Dilexite, because it's a very readable document. And it's also an excellent summary of the church's kind of, let's call it, journey with this kind of idea of call to serve those who are poor, beginning with kind of the scriptural tradition, kind of Old Testament, New Testament, and going on to look at kind of the lives of the saints. I think there was something like 30 different saints referenced by Pope Leo in his exhortation, saying, here are the holy men and women of our tradition, and this is how they've responded. And yeah. I guess putting it out there as an encouragement to us today to respond. And then kind of a thing, also looking at the different kinds of poverty that we're experiencing today and encouraging us to do our part.
Yeah, yeah. As individuals, and you know, some people are specially called, but everyone is called to love the poor as best they can. What else can we say?
Yeah.
You know, within our ability, within our faith, on our faith journey. For me, it's been a faith journey. to learn to accept poverty or wealth or the world we live in and so on. So I'm afraid we've got to leave it there. And thank you so much for insights and good luck for the presentation on Sunday. I'm sure it'll be very meaningful and valuable to those of us who will be able to attend. So thank you, Father Bruce.
Thank you very much, Tony. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. And I need to sign off because our time is up. I was going to play a song called God Gives His People Strength. And that's really the message I want to leave you with. Whatever our journey, whatever our challenges, God gives His people strength. And the love of God will help us on our way. So, signing off for today. Go well. God bless.
God gives His people strength. If we believe in His way, He's swift to repay.